Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net. In this module, we're going to demonstrate how to use cues. We're going to use the great tutorial that's available from Azure's own documentation, that link that I showed you in the previous module that you see right here on screen. And what this will do is not only help us learn the concepts of cues like we talked about in the previous lesson, but then also many how do I style topics, a lot of source code that we'll actually borrow from to either build our own example or move on from there. And really the intent of this module is just to show you where to look for help. You never really memorize these APIs. You should have a general working knowledge, a mental model of how these things work. And then when you need to actually use one, you go to a page like this and you remind yourself like, oh yeah, that's right. I need to use that class, or I need to use that method to do this, you know. And that's just how software developers work. They don't memorize all this stuff. Okay, so at any rate, I would point you to this. As a result of this, I created a simple two-part application. Two Visual Studio projects, one called Cue Message Reader and the other one called Cue Message Creator. So the creator will write a message onto the cue, the reader will read it off. And you've seen these already when we worked with the storage emulator. And so I've cranked the storage emulator back up and it's working right now. So to use these examples that you'll find, you can download wherever you're currently watching this video, or wherever you currently or originally downloaded it from, you'll need to start up the storage emulator, or you can change the, you know, the connection string that we're pointing to here in the app.config. They need to both point to the same place, obviously, right? So we'll go ahead and run the creator. And let me pull the result here over. And what message would you like to add? Hello world. And that should be successfully written to the queue. Awesome. And then in the reader, we're going to run. And I've got a little menuing system here. And the first thing that we can do is delay the message and re-queue it. We can then come back in. And it looks like it has been requeued and it's not quite available just yet. Let's go ahead, and now it's become available, so we see the menu. So there's a little lag there in the time that it takes to requeue the message. Now we can modify it and then requeue it. And we'll take a look at the code of what that actually did here in just a moment. And then finally we can process it and delete it. So let's go ahead and process it, and the updated contents, hello world. So I appended the word updated contents to whatever the previous contents were, and then displayed that on the screen. So you can see that the real magic here is not in the creator. It's pretty easy to just go through the process of you know, connecting to a storage account, creating a queue client, then creating a queue. If it doesn't already exist, then create it. If it does exist, just get a reference to it, and then you start to work with it in an interesting sort of way. Here, this user message is just a string that we're gathering from the user using a console read line, and then we're just going to call add message and stick the message on the queue, and it's as easy as that. So I'm going to shut this part down. The more interesting part of this example is the is what we do to actually write the message. Now, first of all, I'm gonna make sure that there is a message in the queue before I display that little menu. So if you recall, the very first thing that I did was I selected number 3, delay the message and requeue it. I delayed it, so the next time I ran the application, it didn't show it. It just gave me that there was that it was finished, that there was nothing to actually process. And then after a few more seconds, the message was no longer delayed. It was available again, and we were able to read it off. The second time I went through it, I modified it and then requeued it. And then the final time I processed it and deleted it. But I had to make sure that there was a message to process before I would display this menu. So you can see here how I went about peeking at the message just to see if it's available. And if it's not available, then I'm going to bail out of this while loop. All right, so I'm going to process whatever the user selects, 1, 2, or 3. In the case of number 3, what I want to do is I'm gonna get the message and then delay it by adding 10 seconds to its invisibility in the queue, and then we're basically just going to ignore it from that point on. When I select that I want to modify and requeue it here, I'm grabbing the message again, calling that getQueue method just like I did here, passing in nothing this time. Then I'm going to call setMessageContent, appending the original content of the message with this updated content string. And then calling updateMessage, passing in the message, telling it that it should be made available immediately as opposed to from 10 seconds from now, and then also giving it a bitwise value that says I want to update not only the content but also the visibility of this message. And then finally, whenever we go to retrieve the message, I'm calling get message. I retrieve the message. Now I can delete the message because let's just suppose that I processed it, and then I'm able to still work with that retrieved message and display it as a string. Now I can go through the process of determining what its type is and then displaying it as that type, like for a date, for example. I just didn't show that in this example. Now, everything that I did in this example, I pulled directly from this webpage that I pointed you to here just at the very outset. So I would recommend that you go through this and you look at how I was able to pull just all this code off and then use it in a simple scenario. Let's talk about one other thing here. I'm going to open up another instance of Visual Studio, and we're going to go to the quick starts that are installed with the Azure SDK. So we're going to go to File, New Project. We're going to go to Azure Storage Queues and click OK. And there's something interesting in this tutorial that you don't see in the one on Azure's own website, and that is that it actually works with async versions of all of those method calls. So obviously the first thing we're going to need to do is to get some of these references fixed up here. You can see we're missing a bunch of references, so I'm going to right click and select Manage NuGet Packages. Very top, you can see that NuGet packages are missing from this solution. Click Restore from Online Packages. We've done this before with when we use the Quick Start with Tables. And let's update everything to the most recent version. Say Accept. All right, it looks like everything is up to date now. So I should be able to right click and select build, and we should get that it succeeded in a build, and it did. Okay, great. So that's how you would set up this example. Also, don't forget, you're gonna want to adjust the app config, change the storage connection string if you don't already have the storage emulator running, you should, or you can just connect it up to your own Azure account online. But again, one of the features of these quick starts is the amount of comments that they provide, and also articles that point you to interesting things. However, here you can see how to do basic queue operations, async, update enqueued messages. So you can, like we did previously, update them, process a batch of messages, you can even delete. And so you'll just want to walk through and look at these. Again, the benefit here is that they work in an async fashion so that you can run other operations while you're waiting for things to happen on the queue. And so I would definitely encourage you to take a look at these. It's a pretty useful example. All right, that's all I really wanted to show you. That's how you use queues. It's as simple as that. There's really no advanced cases that really require any additional explanation. So we're gonna move on now to blobs because they're a little bit more interesting. We'll see you in the next module. Thank you.